welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was just laughing over something that a prayer partner had sent, and it's a quote from Abraham Lincoln, and I'm just going to share it with you as we begin the broadcast. It relates to nothing except it's just quite a statement. This is a quote by Abraham Lincoln. "Better to remain silent and thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt." The word does say something about us, you know, thinking before we speak and holding our peace. We'll be thought wise if we do that. Okay. Well, let's go to prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for in the midst of these busy days, Lord, that you are our haven of rest. You are our rock in the storm, our refuge in the time of trouble. And so, Father, I thank you right now you would breathe your peace and your comfort to every listener. Lord, you see the condition of every heart. And Lord, I'm asking you to just minister to them. Let them feel your sweet presence. And Father, help us to, with all that is within us, seek to please you with a whole heart. Lord, as it was written in the Psalms, we delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within our hearts. And so, Father, cleanse thou us. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Lord, help us to have the mind of Christ. We've been ministering on that, Lord. We're learning that Jesus had a meek and lowly mind, that it was a pure mind. Lord, that it was a strong mind. He was absolutely committed and convinced of the truth of your will and of the Word of God. And so, Lord, help us to walk in His path, in His footsteps, and be a beacon and a shining light to those who are lost in darkness. We have answers, Lord, and the answers are having the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that he was willing to pay that price to walk among men. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to us now. And Lord, thank you for opening up the Word of God to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, to move on next to the fourth point, and the mind of Christ is a fruitful mind. Think about that. Now, I know you might say, well, Sister Glass, that's anything like I feel like right now. I know there's times that we seem to have barrenness in our lives, that there's not a lot happening. We're not bearing fruit. But, beloved, when we talk about working the works of God, when someone, a disciple, asked Jesus, he said, "Believe on him whom he has sent." That's where it all starts. And it starts in the inner man rather than in the outward man. Because as our inward man is nourished and strengthened and grows strong in wisdom and understanding and revelation, well, then it'll just naturally affect our outward man. And so, you know, the danger is that we tend to look at external things, and you can't do that. I mean, we're guilty of it in the church. Let me tell you, ministers are guilty of it. Well, how many are in your church? And you know, it's like bigger has got to be better. How many souls are you reaching? How many radio stations are you on? How many television programs do you have? How many stations? You know, and it's the more impressive. That, see, the world is impressed with things like that. How much money do you have? What's your position? What's your title? And that's the same spirit that predominates in the church if we're not careful. And so it's not about externals, but we have to understand that barrenness is not the same as being dormant. Even looking at the natural world, there's times in the winter season, for example, when plants and trees are dormant. They go dormant. They sense the changing of the seasons, and I'm in a climate now where there's definite seasons, that they actually react on a certain level. And if it starts, they'll start dropping their leaves, for example, if they're under any kind of stress, you know. So there's a difference between barrenness and being dormant. And there are seasons in the Lord. There's times that we just need to grow quiet and be before the Lord, because that's part of His plan with us, and we can't allow ourselves to compare ourselves with one another. You know, that's unprofitable. Paul made mention of that. But God reserves the right to deal with each of His children in a way that He chooses. We're all on the same pathway, believing and loving Jesus, headed to heaven. But it's popular, what, in the secular world, what is it? What do they call those? In the physical, when they're doing workouts and aerobics, someone who can mentor them, a personal trainer. Well, okay, there you go. The Holy Spirit is our personal trainer. He knows exactly what truth to give us, and sometimes He presents truth and we're really not ready to receive it. Well, He doesn't give up, but He keeps presenting different opportunities, presented in different ways, to finally teach us the lesson or to get us to accept that truth. So, beloved, don't be condemned that, you know, well, here I'm up in years and what am I doing for the Lord? You know, I heard a wonderful example the other day. There was a woman, I don't know what country, she was saved, and she was so grateful for what God had done, and she was blind. And she said, Lord, I want to be used for You. So what she did was stand outside a men's school, a boys' school, and when they had recess, she would just hand them tracts. And she said, can you read this for me? And it was, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It was John 3:16. And she would witness to those young men. And in the course of those years, all that time, she dedicated, there were like 26 young men that went into ministry as a result of what she did. So, beloved, you know, we can't, even Paul said, I can't judge myself. We stand before the Lord. Let us just be joyful in Him and let our hands be ready to do whatever He calls us to do. Now, let's go on. I'm just making so many detours and bunny trails. Jesus said, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Jesus bore fruit for the Father, just as we are to do. And we let Him determine the kind of fruit. You've got to have the mind of Christ in order to really bear precious fruit. Let this mind be in you, beloved, which was also in Christ Jesus. Again, what's another characteristic? Peter describes it, 1 Peter 2:23, Peter was talking about Jesus, and he says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to Him that judges righteously, his Father. Jesus was fully devoted to doing His Father's will. It was the highest and most important concern in the whole world to Him. And so it should be for us, beloved. Jesus was fully devoted to work the works of Him that sent me. His meat was to do the Father's will and to, quote, finish His work. That's what John 4:34 says. What a privilege to be a partner with Jesus in God's divine plan and to be workers together with Him in fulfilling the Father's purpose. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? And beloved, the best way you can do that is if you just fully determined to reside in God's kingdom. Didn't Jesus say the kingdom's within you? That will produce righteousness. What is the kingdom? But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We need more joy. We need a vibrant, powerful testimony, but we can only do that as we get our head screwed on right. And that is if we allow our mind to be transformed by the mind of Christ. Praise God. All right, well, let's move on. Point number 5, an unselfish mind. And let's turn, if you have your Bibles, to Romans 15th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 1-3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even as even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So Jesus, he didn't please himself. What did he delight? He delighted to do thy will, O my God. He loved God more than he wanted to please himself. Remember, even in the garden, he said, Father, everything's possible for you. Please, if you can do this some other way, please, I don't want to have to go through this. He did not want to have to go through the shame, the humiliation, and the incredible torture of crucifixion, all that he went through. He said, please, I don't want to do this, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Have we come to that place, brother and sister? Have you come to that place in your life? I ask myself that same question. Am I really, truly willing to lay down my will, my comforts, the things I want to do when I want to do them, to do his will? That's a question we need to ask ourselves, is it not? Rather than seeking self-gratification and satisfaction of self-interest, Jesus poured himself out to those in need around him. He constantly reached out to those who came in contact with him. When he beheld Jerusalem, he wept over it. He, as our high priest, is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews 4:15, right? And our interests have then become his interests and vice versa. Why? Because we are in a covenant relationship. We're taught to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Now, beloved, one thing that's important, I want to mention again, a sense of balance. We need to have an unselfish mind, but also we need to do the things the Lord would have us to do personally to take care of this temple, spiritually, emotionally, physically. We have primary responsibility to the Lord for our own selves. No one else does, not your husband, not your wife. And so you must fulfill that. Even Jesus, he didn't, you know, he wasn't constantly ministering to people when he needed to. He went aside and prayed and had time alone with the Father. So that, let's put this in perspective. We need to make sure we're strong to spend time with the Lord, to pray, to be in his word, to take care of our physical temples, however God is directing you. And then we are in a place where we can devote our full attention on the interests of what the Father directs us to do. Praise God. Well, my time is gone. I must bring this broadcast to a close. Stay tuned tomorrow. We're going to continue right on. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. And may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.